The epistle for this external solemnity of the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, to me, the very least of all saints, there was given this grace to announce among the Gentiles the good tidings of the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to enlighten all men as to what is the dispensation of the mystery which has been hidden from eternity in God, who created all things, in order that through the church there be made known to the principalities and the powers in the heavens the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we have assurance and confidence, confident access to God through faith in him. For this reason, I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love, which surpasses all knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Please rise for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, the Jews, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a solemn day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers opened his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. And when he who saw it has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall you break. And again another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord says in the Gospel of St. Matthew, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Today, the external solemnity of the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus recalls the feast this past Friday of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It was St. Margaret Mary Alacoque who made public this devotion to the Church, devotion to the Sacred Heart, as requested by our Lord himself in the year 1690, not all too distant in ecclesial time from the present. St. Margaret Mary was a very sickly child. She was sick in bed for 5 years. From age 10 to age 15, she was homebound and sickbound. She was not able to hear Mass and hardly to even be able to leave her house. Her prayer was almost forced in a way to become very, very simple. She was not able to enter into reading or deep meditation. Her prayer became very simple. In addition to her own sufferings, she witnessed the suffering of her beloved mother, who was widowed only a few years earlier at her father's passing. And her mother was very cruelly treated by St. Margaret Mary's older sister and her older sister's husband, her brother-in-law. She had a double portion of suffering, her own suffering, and also seeing the sufferings of her beloved mother, about which she could really not do much as a much younger child and a sickly child. Perhaps the greatest of sufferings in human life, seeing another suffer, was a particular thorn for her. As St. Margaret Mary entered the Visitation Sisters, she found her novitiate to be very, very difficult, where she was learning the type of prayer of her order. And she found the discursive mental prayer, or the mental reading of scripture and mental prayer, very, very difficult. In fact, she really couldn't do it at all. And our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary and invited her to become as St. John at the Last Supper, whose head rested on the heart, or the breast, or the heart of our Lord. Our Lord invited St. Margaret Mary to become as St. John, to rest her head on his heart. This very direct and simple form of prayer, formed out of her sufferings and drawn into the public prayer of the church by our Lord himself, was now drawn for all to emulate. Consider your acts of love for a husband or wife, a fiance, an elderly or a sickly parent or family member, acts of love for your children, acts of love for your parish. What an act of love to be on the parish cleanup team for the festival, where nobody sees your name, well, except the sign-up sheet. But all the little acts of love that you do for your parish, it's love that makes those sacrificial acts possible. Those acts where we do not count the cost in with a loved one, a family member, fellow parishioner. In our love of God, our human love is transformed in at least three ways. We first begin to love what God loves. We then begin to love how God loves. And then we begin to hate what God hates. To love what God loves and how God loves moves us constantly away from the inertia of pride and self-interest that is our sinful nature. To love what and how God loves draws us out of that. And thirdly, to detest what God detests is to detest sin, all sin, and particularly our own sin. Fruits of transformation of human love. In Holy Communion, in receiving the sacred heart flesh of our Lord, we receive the virtues of Christ himself. As we receive him, we receive his virtues as he possesses them. As St. Paul writes, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who dwells in me. And also, he writes that the greatest of these is love. The short, direct, simple way of love of the Sacred Heart. One fruit of worthy reception of Holy Communion is that we are drawn to make more integral, deeper, and more frequent confession. The two repeatable sacraments of Holy Communion and the sacrament of confession. I'm pointing to the confessionals in the back of the church. These two repeatable sacraments work on our souls cooperatively. St. Augustine comments, Holy Communion floods our soul with the virtue of Christ's very same love, thus allowing us to perceive more clearly the number of our sins and the depth of our sins. Secondly, we are strengthened through Holy Communion to trust in our Lord's remedy for sin. His remedy is the sacrament of confession. And through confession, our hearts are enlarged. They're made greater. They're enlarged to receive ever more fully the love of Christ's Sacred Heart in Holy Communion. The two sacraments of Holy Communion and the sacrament of confession work cooperatively then, notes St. Augustine. As our Lord says in St. Matthew's Gospel, he says, My yoke is easy and my burden is light. St. Leo the Great says that our faulty human love, little lowercase l love, if you will, is always yoked and is burdened because it's yoked and burdened by sin. But it is His, our Lord's yoke, that is easy, and it is His, our Lord's burden, that is light. St. Leo writes that a bale of wool, or like a big pile of wool cut from a sheep, if a cannonball was shot into that wool would absorb the energy and the aggression of that cannonball because of the wool's softness and gentleness it could receive it. So too does our Lord receive our sin and the rugged and ragged edges of our person, which is sin. As that wool receives, so does our Lord's Sacred Heart, which is humble and meek, receive us. We ought then, on this great recognition of our Lord's Sacred Heart and external solemnity, be imbued with the deep, deep trust in our Lord's ability and power and desire to remedy that which keeps us from Him. As we turn to our Lord in Holy Communion to receive the sacrament of His Sacred Heart flesh, may our prideful acts be transformed and united to His sacrificial love. St. Augustine, pray for us. St. Leo the Great, pray for us. St. Margaret Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.